Hey, Chuck, you Farley.
Mike Papa.
And Lindy.
And welcome back to another episode of We're Sorry Did We Offend You. To get you started today, I'm going to play you something that explains what, you know, since the Democrats' talking points is you're ruining our democracy. You're wrecking our democracy. Here's a little history lesson for everybody out there.
Okay.
Democracy is a form of government based upon the principle of majority rule, period. End of discussion. Now, that's not very complicated. Majority rule. It's easy to understand, easy to sell to the masses, and I might add, deadly. For example, what would you call a lynch mob? That's majority rule. There's only one dissenting vote, and he's at the end of the rope. Now, that's pure democracy in action. Now, but wait a minute, you say. The majority should rule, yes, but not to the extent of destroying the rights of the minority. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are no longer describing a democracy. We are speaking of a republic. A republic is a limited democracy. It's a form of government based upon the principle of limited majority rule. Limited so that the minority, even a minority of one, can be protected against the whims and passions of the majority. And how do you protect the minority from the majority? You write down a set of rules on a piece of paper. You say, this we can do, that we cannot. At the top of the paper, you write the word Constitution. And then everyone agrees to follow the rules no matter what the temptation. And when you're finished, you've created a constitutional republic.
Unless you're the Democrats and change the rules.
Right, but I'm just saying, they keep screaming, you're ruining our democracy. Yeah, we're ruining your democracy because your democracy is cheating.
Right, it's ruining the republic.
Yeah, you're ruining the republic. You guys are. They're ruining the republic.
Yeah.
See,
I would love to see a Republican come back with that response.
Right.
You know, It is... We're not ruining democracy. This is not a democratic society. We're a republic. Your democracy is ruining our republic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, every time they want a rule change because they can't get something passed, they change a rule.
Right. Yeah. Or they just
want the simple majority.
Or they just write an executive order.
Yeah, exactly.
Executive order number 2,476.
Yeah. Which is 676 pages long. Why is an executive order that long?
And that was just this week. That was... We're gonna change this country one executive order at a time.
Exactly, and they say Trump is an authoritarian.
Yeah, well, yeah, like the other night on the who was he? He got interviewed the other night on Fox News, right?
Sean Hannity,
right? And he goes, people are saying you're gonna be a dictator. I ain't gonna. He goes, well,
only on day one.
Yeah,
I'm on a drill, and I'm gonna.
Yeah, I'm gonna secure the border and drill, drill, drill.
Well, that's not retribution. No, I'm going to secure the border and drill.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was funny. So, but yeah, everyone's still freaking out over, oh, he's a dictator.
Of course they were. I mean, first of all, Hannity should know better than that, even fuck, because the word even comes up around Trump, and they're going, and then Trump just, you know how Trump is. He just fucking jokes about everything.
Yeah.
And so, if he's joking about something...
Oh, it's real. Oh, look, he's serious.
Maybe it has to be like... Maybe it has to be like Joe Biden. No joke. No joke.
No shit. There it was.
Yeah.
No lie.
No joke. I'm not lying. Yeah, dude, that's all you do is lie. You're a big fucking liar.
I'm trying to see. I don't think I saved that Trump interview.
Huh?
No, I didn't. So, all right, what else? We're ruining our democracy.
Yeah. So, I just wanted to play it because we keep talking about democracy. They keep saying it, and we keep trying to tell you what.
You know what's ruining our country is the fact that you got all the lawsuits and criminal trials against Trump.
Dude, yeah. And they're all just failing.
So this week in New York... civil trial, the one that the judge, before even Trump even showed in the court, ruled against Trump, valued his Mar-a-Lago at $18 million, and now they're trying to do the penalty phase, right?
Right.
A defense expert witness testified. His name was Eli Bartov. He's with New York University Accounting, professor. NYU, very liberal. They probably don't like Trump, right?
Right, yeah.
Thoroughly reviewed the Trump financial statements. He testified he found no evidence whatsoever of accounting fraud. Mm-hmm. He said Trump's financial statements didn't violate accounting principles. His statements were not materially misstated. He added that Trump's brand is worth $3 billion, then explained that he searched for clues that there was something wrong in the statement's reports, but he could not find a single provision that he violated, not one.
Right, and there's something in there that says the banks can verify and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so, Rogue Judge Enron had something to ask. So, in your expert opinion, the Attorney General's claim have no merit? Bartov answered, the Attorney General interpreted this as fraud. This is not fraud. This is absolutely my opinion. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So... Then they had another banking expert from the Deutsche Bank come in,
mm-hmm.
and said, "Yeah, we got paid back. We got paid back early. We had our own experts go through and you know," and he goes, "Yeah, no, this is nothing wrong."
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the defense right now on for Trump in that case is just destroying this judge.
Right,
they need to declare a mistrial or just dismiss all the charges. But he's already ruled against Trump. So how... They're going to get smacked on the peel, and Letitia James and this judge are going to get their asses handed to him for being so... you know, just... This is outrageous. This is political. It's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all it is.
I mean...
Everybody knows it. I mean, the Georgia one. I mean, now all of a sudden, all this evidence is coming out all over the country. That these fucking machines change votes.
Yeah.
That here in Arizona, there's people who voted four fucking times.
Right.
Yeah.
And so.
And there's like 19,000 extra votes. And what, you know, it's like.
So Mike Lindell and Trump were right all along.
Mm-hmm.
So here's Trump's attorney on Fox News the other day about the trial.
Okay.
After hearing Deutsche Bank say that they still consider the Trump Organization a great client, that they paid their loans off early, nobody was not paid, their statements of financial condition were actually undervalued, and hearing that from experts who are on the Nobel Committee, Executive Committee recommendations, saying that the accounting records were perfect and those mistakes that may or may not have been on were not mistakes at all. They were called subjective valuations, which every real estate developer has. They were... absolutely fine, and there was absolutely no fault at all. And frankly, they even went further and said the New York Attorney General's complaint had no merit. There was absolutely no violations of any accounting principles. The judge shut us down, so I stood up and said, as did my colleague many times, that we need a directed verdict, meaning that they have not proven their case. They've closed their case. We are now putting on our case, and they cannot prove that we did anything wrong. Quite the contrary. All they've proven is that President Trump is worth a lot more than his financial condition. And if he wanted to inflate it, he would have put his brand alone, which is worth billions and billions and billions of dollars. But he didn't, because there was no fraud. Letitia, as you mentioned, she campaigned on Trump. She's trying to maintain some political relevance off of Trump. That's why she shows up and does her PR thing there. I find it disgusting, and we are seriously in a dual system of justice and a banana republic where we were already found guilty of something we didn't do before we walked into court.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yes, there's another clip of her talking just about that Bartov guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have saved it. I did it while we were watching. I saw it while we were watching the football game. So I went preoccupied.
Go Army.
The 2020 election was stolen. Here, I'm going to play you some clips here to even fucking back our fucking comments up.
Well, yeah, it's stolen. We're seeing the results of this stolen election every day.
Well, I think they're letting it out because they really want Biden
gone.
So they're just letting everything come out now. So here, this is Wisconsin.
Okay.
I think 168,000 votes. 138,000 was the Tim?
Yeah, 138,000.
You see the same? And see, this makes no sense. This is not even statistically possible where you have linear movement along voting like this. So you have a skyrocket. It should have been moving along.
The argument is these are votes that came in, and they all came in at once. But the thing that's the irony of it, every last one of them broke for Biden?
There was not a Trump vote in there. They all vote, and you do not have a place in any state. Maybe Dixville's notch, where there were five voters five at the people. First thing, and they all five voted for Biden. Maybe there, but not when you have something of 138,000. You don't all break that way. And it still shouldn't be linear, because you have so many counters that are counting across the way that they're all tallying and reporting, and you don't bunch them in and report one thing. So that doesn't look right for the process. It certainly does not look right for the fact that there is no place of 138,000 where you don't have both candidates represented. I mean, even the bluest city, you're still going to have somebody voting for the other party. And so these two things, it would not be a tight race right now had this not occurred. And this looks like it occurred maybe 4:30 in the morning. This is about 6:30 in the morning.
6:23 a.m.
There you go.
Here.
Well, 6:23 here.
Yeah,
looks like about 4:30 maybe that it shot up here. So those are the two charts. And now you hear that Nevada has shut down. They're suddenly not counting anymore. So there's some crazy stuff going.
And that was during 2020, during the election.
Yeah.
That they were saying that.
Yeah, because Nevada shut down during the day.
Right. And that looks like the same thing that Georgia looked like, the same pattern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, let's see. What do we got here? Going through this. I know I saved a few of them. I got, here's one from,
Phoenix.
This is Phoenix. Okay.
Because we thought the duplicates would be removed, but there were duplicates in here. So we had to remove duplicates. So out of those set, there were duplicates. So these were the duplicates. We found about 16,934 voters who had submitted 16,934 two-copy duplicates, which means each of those voters submitted two ballots. Okay, two return early voting ballot return envelopes. Interesting enough, we also found another 188 voters, unique voters, who had submitted 376 duplicates. So the total image count was 564 once you removed the duplicates, right? Because you want to take one of them. And then finally, we found also four individuals who submitted 12 duplicates, total images being 16. So the total duplicates was 34,448. Total images, of which 17,322 were duplicates from 17,126 voters. This was, by the way, we'll get to, was not reported in the report.
Okay, that math does not add up in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the most secure election ever. Most secure. Oh, there. I had it twice. Two things at once.
Okay, Travis.
Oh, here. Listen to this one. This is a really good one right here.
Okay.
They're talking about voters from, you know, like military people.
Uh-huh.
Voting and stuff. Listen to this.
Forensic portion of the audit and was the floor manager for the last few weeks of quality control. I was there when the last pallet at the auditorium left. My name is on the chain of custody forms of hundreds of thousands of ballots. So because of the accuracy and efficiency of my teams, we were tasked with tallying of the damaged ballots, large print ballots, braille ballots, and the special ballots set aside by the Senate. I specifically had the Senate liaison, the Secretary of State's observers, and John Brinke at my tables every day, multiple times a day. But specifically, I was tasked with doing the UACAVA ballots. A UACAVA ballot is the Uniform Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act ballot. That ballot is sent out to our men and women who work overseas and for our federal people that work overseas to get a chance to vote in the elections.
Seconds.
This is what a ballot looks like that goes out to everybody, right? 11.5 by 19 ballot. When I opened up the boxes of ballots, this is what a ballot looks like that's a UACAVA ballot. You know what that is? That's an 8.5 by 11 white sheet of copy paper. Did you all know that our ballots come back like this from our overseas people? Did any of you know this? It was such a sham that I had people every day at my tables counting the picture, taking pictures of these ballots that were scanned down. The ballots are scanned. It took my teams 3 complete days to count all of the year ballots. You know why? Because in 2016, the numbers were apparently there were 1,600 UACAVA ballots that came back in the most significant election of our lifetime. In 2020, the numbers were close to 9,600 ballots that came back. And I will tell you as an eyewitness, 95%, because I was asked to tally these personally by the Senate liaisons, all went towards one candidate. And in a state where that candidate won by a little over 10,000 votes, that is a net gain of 8,000 new votes during an election when people were brought home because there was a pandemic. And because our federal people, our military people were brought home.
So, what this guy's saying is, in 2016, there were 1,600 of these UCABA or whatever the hell it was, ballots mailed out. But in 2020, it was almost 10,000. And we're in a pandemic, and people were brought home and stuff like this. Now, listen to this next video. This is the next video is from the same hearing.
Okay.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is what I'm having a difficult time with. We don't have that many guardsmen deployed. We don't have that many. We're talking about the winding down of Afghanistan and almost a skeleton crew in Iraq of active duty deployed. When I was in the Marines, I voted absentee. I actually had a ballot. I never heard of this vote by email.
Well, you had a ballot, but you sent it in somehow.
Yeah, and of course, I'm convinced none of my absentee ballots ever made it in because I don't trust the postman. Okay, anyway. especially if you're on ship. There really is no mail buoy out there that everybody just, anyway. But I'm having a hard time grasping this 9,800?
9,600 plus, yes. Close to 10,000.
And what, in 2016 we had what?
A little over 1,600. Which
and we don't
might
have
make more
many.
Sense.
Our entire guard is not even that many people. And
right.
We don't have anybody deployed. This is
okay.
These are things that really need to be looked at. And then once again, we don't have no way of knowing that that piece of paper that you pulled out of the boxes was a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. So really, realistically, the chain of custody on that is kind of like out the door.
Correct.
Yeah. I will tell you that the Army Guard, I think at the most, is around 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And the Air Guard is less than that. So I think we have right around, we'll say around 7,000 National Guardsmen at any given day. Right,
right.
And deployed
is
usually just a few hundred at a time, or depending on how many units are deployed. But you figure a company size element is usually about 170, right?
Mm-hmm.
A battalion is probably about, say, 450 or maybe 500.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You're not going to have them all deployed at the same time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Because that leaves nothing back here.
Yeah. Yeah. But, hey, most secure ever. We got white pieces of paper coming back. The guy said, that one guy, the guy was a state senator or something, and he's saying he was on a ship, and he doubts any of his ballots have ever even counted. Cause...
Well, like I said, I requested a absentee ballot when I was my last tour in Iraq. I never received one.
Right.
You know.
Well, you didn't even get one for the last election.
Here. Yeah.
Here. Yeah. So...
I never even got even notified that we had an election.
Dude, it's like, all right, check that fucker out. All right. He says he's independent, but he used to be.
Yeah.
So don't send him one. We can't trust him. He won't do what we say.
I know. Screw that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously. Fuck. So, okay. Earlier this week.
Setting. In terms of mental health. Yeah. Studies.
Pause. Riley Gaines.
Yeah, Riley Gaines went before Congress. And
I think that's the same day the presidents of MIT, Harvard, and them.
I think it was too. But Summer Lee, I thought this was the greatest thing ever. What did you see this?
Yes,
dude, this is great. Listen to this.
Such as teamwork and goal setting. In terms of mental health, studies show that participating in youth sports is associated with lower rates of anxiety and depression, lower amounts of stress, higher self-esteem and confidence.
Women must stop. Inclusion cannot be prioritized over safety and fairness. And Ranking Member Lee, if my testimony makes me transphobic, then I believe your opening monologue makes you a misogynist. Thank you.
Okay, she just...
I now, thank you, Ms. Gaines. I now recognize Ms. Perry for her opening statements.
Good afternoon, Chairman McLean, Ranking Member Lee, and distinguished members of the subcommittee. My name is Sarah Parshall Perry. I am a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. As a former varsity athlete, the mother of a girls varsity athlete, and former senior counsel for civil rights at the Department of Education, I have, as the saying goes...
Madam Chair, excuse me, I move to have the gentlewoman's words taken down.
Okay. I'm going to stop it right there. So, she... All of a sudden, because she called her a misogynist, now she wants her words taken down.
Yeah.
But she can call you any fucking name she wants.
Right.
And this is a thing in Congress, because someone said something one time when Nadler was in charge.
Right.
And he basically scolded the guy saying, you can't, you know.
You can't call me that.
Yeah.
Well, you can call me whatever you want, but I can't call you that.
No, no. You guys got these roles reversed because it worked for me, fucktards.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They get there and they, you know, don't confuse your position with my ability to whoop your ass.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And anyway, so they go through this whole whispering thing. Yeah. Blah, blah,
blah, blah, all the age and the...
And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, never mind.
It's just going to make her look even stupider than she already is.
I know. Dude, she is dumb too. She is. So's that other, there's another African-American woman that's even dumber in there.
Is that the ranking member, the one from...
No,
like,
no, she's dumb too.
From the Virgin Islands or whatever.
No. No, not her. She's dumb too. But, and I'm not saying it to be racist. I know it's coming across that way, but...
Well, it's...
They're stupid. They got elected to a job that they have no business fucking being in.
Well, then again, you know, it's a representative republic, right?
Right, I know.
So if they're representing their district, and their districts are dumb enough to elect them,
right,
what does that say about their district?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean...
But the thing is, who was it? Was it Fetterman? I think I agreed with him or something like that. I think it was. Saying that we don't send our best and brightest to Congress?
Well, yeah.
Look at them.
Look at
most of Congress.
Yeah, Democrats don't send their best and brightest. Most Republicans are fucking attorneys and shit like that.
Most Republicans are fucking backstabbing fucking POSs. Look what's going on this week. Okay, so they ousted Santos.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So we already have like a razor-thin majority of like,
it was like
4.
And then McCarthy stepping down. So now we have like one.
We have 2 right now.
Do we?
Right. So, yeah, but there's other people who, I mean, it's like they want us to lose a majority. And McCarthy came out the other day, there's sitting somewhere, it's like, well, the Democrat Party, look, they look like our country. They look like they represent, you know, the Republicans are all white people. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah, dude, he's
Byron Donalds is a white guy.
Yeah, you know, McCarthy is a POS, dude.
Dude, he is. I mean, you know why he's stepping down? First of all, because he's all butthurt because nobody likes him. Then he, I think he came out today said if Trump gets reelected, he'd be happy to take a cabinet position. What? Yeah, no, he did say that, dude.
See,
when I look at the Democrats, they actually look like America. When I look at my party, we look like the most restrictive country club in America.
Ooh, he's getting booed, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, what a dumbass.
Most restrictive country club in America.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you're an idiot, dude. So...
Well, yeah. I mean, the whole thing is, we've had control of the House now for almost a year.
A year.
Almost a year.
And we haven't done shit.
No, nothing's been done. And we brought... Someone, who was it last week, said, give me one thing that we've done. Oh, the dude from Texas.
Was it Chip Roy? Yeah.
Chip Roy, yeah. He goes, give me something to take back to my people that I can run on.
But everything they promised that they're going to do, right?
They haven't done.
They haven't done any of it.
No.
And just like...
No, and we're going to have an election before they fucking even get around to impeaching Joe Biden.
They're slow rolling it on purpose, man. Seriously. Oh, we just need more evidence. How much more evidence do you need?
No, exactly. I mean, he bought a fucking house for $3 million.
Cash. Right. You have payments. You have a bank that their suspicious access request, whatever, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Or reports.
SAR, yeah. Whatever.
The SARs.
Yeah.
Flagged several transactions that had Joe Biden's home address as the address. And that mm-hmm. was because Hunter was supposedly living at that house.
Yeah.
But anything that going to that address now is suspicious mm-hmm. to include Joe Biden. And the IRS whistleblowers wanted to investigate Joe Biden and they were shot down.
Right.
Dude, and you know, if anybody says there's no double standard in our justice system right now, they're full mm-hmm. of shit or they're blind or stupid or all the above.
Right.
So.
Here's my favorite guy. Oh, that's kind of long, so I'll cut it short. But here's my favorite guy talking about Joe Biden crime.
Okay.
It's to my good friend from Florida, Mr. Byron Donalds. Thank you.
I want to thank the gentleman from Utah, our new vice chairman, and I want to congratulate him as well. Mr. Speaker, President Biden consistently has stated that he never discussed businesses with Hunter Biden's associates. That is a lie. Let me repeat that even for the colleagues across the aisle. It is a lie. Throughout our extensive investigation and from the lips of credible witnesses, it is abundantly clear that the Biden family business is Joe Biden. Let me emphasize, there is no Biden family business except for Joe Biden's 40-plus year career in Washington, D.C. That has been the family business. As a member of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, we have followed the paper trail. We've conducted our investigation by the book. We have discovered damning evidence, and we continue to do so every day. Our investigation has led to some alarming and eye-opening findings, which point to the president's knowledge and involvement in illegal business transactions. For example, in 2018, James Biden, the president's brother, received $600,000 in a loan from AmeriCorps, a financially distressed, failing rural hospital operator. Bankruptcy court documents suggested that James Biden received these loans based upon representations that his last name, Biden, could open doors in the Middle East based on his political connections. Now, we all know James Biden doesn't have political connections. Joe Biden, his brother, has political connections. Specifically, AmeriCorps wired a $200,000 loan into the account of James and Sarah Biden. Here's what makes the evidence damning. On the same day, James Biden wrote a $200,000 check from the same account addressed to his brother, Joe Biden. And
okay, I'm going to stop right there.
And labeled it loan repayment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading the book right now, Breaking Biden, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, this thing goes deep into the fucking Biden family. I mean, his shower buddy, Ashley.
Yeah.
Her husband made a shit ton of money on all this COVID shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, they're all connected.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Every fucking one of them.
Just like a lot of these media guys are connected to the government through husbands, wives, mm-hmm. brothers, sisters.
Yeah.
You know, it's... That's why the media is so left-leaning Democrat and they're the fucking mouthpieces for the DNC. It's because they're all connected, related, you know... It's the propaganda wing.
I mean, his sister, both his brothers. It's like everything goes back to Joe. I mean, everything, you know, Joe, this. The big guy. Yeah, I just really started getting into this book.
Uh-huh.
I mean, halfway through it yet, but I'm just like going, holy fuck. And, I mean, if you can't see it, you're a fucking tard. You're not even trying.
I haven't read the book and I can see it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. If you can't see it, you're not trying. Because...
Well, they don't want to see it. They got the blinders on. And just like how many people at the DOJ and the FBI are connected to the Biden family and how are they getting their kickbacks?
Right.
All this money that goes over to, like, Vindman. Alexander Vindman, the star witness against Trump and his impeachment, right?
Uh-huh.
Someone just busted him out for, he has an LLC, and he's trying to profit off the Ukraine war. So, of course, he wants money to go to Ukraine, because then he gets the defense contracts and makes him rich.
Right.
That's the same thing as Burisma and all these other politicians. Mm-hmm. All this money goes over to Ukraine. Ukraine purchases services, weapons, equipment, whatever, through these U.S.-based companies that are actually controlled by these politicians' family members,
right.
Not them.
Right.
So, you talk about a money laundering scheme, taxpayer money going to a foreign entity, going back to a U.S.-based company, which is owned by politicians and their families.
Yeah. Well, everybody knew that's all it is. And now they're fucking talking. Dude, their talking point is just fucking annoying. Everybody's got the same talking point now. Well, if Putin takes Ukraine, we're going to have to send our own kids in there.
Yeah, we're going to send your kids in.
Everybody's using that same.
Well, that's the talking point.
I know. It's like, we have a meeting. Okay, we have to have a meeting. Strategy meeting. Get in here. Okay, look. Let's tell them this. Well, you sure that's going to work?
Especially their kids.
Well, I think if we all say it, it'll work. Well, let's go.
Wait, but my caveat is, have you seen the nation's kids right now?
Dude, go look. Okay, go on Twitter and look and search up Army Fight, and then look at the two fucking fucktards fight. It's like a sissy slap fight in the barracks.
Not only that, but today's fucking generation, what's the percentage of kids who have gender dysphoria, a mental illness that can't even decide what bathroom to use?
Dude.
What pronouns to use? Yeah. Dude, we're so fucking pussified right now. Putin and Xi are just waiting, because these fucking kids today and the generations of teachers that are teaching them, we're fucked.
You know why? Because no one smacks their fucking kids anymore.
We're fucked.
Yeah.
I've seriously thought about moving to, like, Belize or something.
I knew it. As soon as everybody started doing this timeout bullshit, like, back, I think I was in my late 20s, early 30s when all that shit came around. I'm like, I knew right then we were in trouble. I go, nah, you guys don't understand. You need to fucking whack your kids. And then when people did whack their kids, like in the parking lot at Kmart or Hy-Vee.
Calling the cops.
Yeah. Some lady would call the cops on them. It's like, I'm going to slap the fuck out of you, lady. I mean, I remember being in Kmart as a kid. I really brought this up. I acted out, and my mom belted the shit out of me in a right in the aisle at Kmart in the little kid blue jean aisle. Fuck, I remember it like it was yesterday.
slapped you right out of those Lee dungarees.
Yeah, slapped the taste right out of my fucking mouth.
That was pre-COVID.
Yeah. My mom gave me COVID back in the 70s.
That explains a lot, Chuck.
Dude, I could say I could do a whole show on all the ass whoopings I took as a kid. But I'm not going to.
Oh, man.
Only because it would scar me for life.
So, good times were had by all.
I know. So.
But yeah, so they're just buying their time, because our generation, next generation, won't be able to fight their way out of a wet paper sack.
Dude, I could find this fucking... I know.
Oh, that's a visual. They have to see that. You can't just explain it.
No, not that. Not the fight one.
Or that gay kid talking about who's better for war. We played it before.
No, not that one.
Do you have a new one?
A new one. There was a person came out of the fucking closet this week. You didn't see that one?
No. I tried not to.
Dude, I try not to, too, but sometimes you just have to save them, but you have to watch them. Because it's like a train wreck. You got to stop and look.
Good. That's everything right now on the internet.
Let's see. Let me see.
Everything on the internet lately is a train wreck.
Come out of the closet. Come out.
Oh, so while we're still talking about Ukraine and shit.
Yeah.
I heard Zelensky has 2 mega yachts now.
Dude, he has a fucking, like, $35 million home in Florida.
So, how's he afford that as a president of a small country that's in the middle of a war?
He's got, like, I forget how many fucking houses he has, too. Where does he get his money?
Us.
Yeah, well, I know that. Yeah, that's what I think. How come there's no accounting? There's no...
There's no audit trail of the money, how it's being used, how it's being spent.
Yeah, but we need more. We need more. And he's like, every fucking week, it's like...
He wanted to go to Israel, and Israel denied him entry.
Really?
Yeah, good. Like, no, stay away. We have our own shit going on.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. Why we can't pay for everybody's shit and pay for our own shit and then give these guys 5,000 fucking... I'm going to lose weight. Let's play this while I'm looking
at
this.
Oh, Sheriff, what's his name? Lamb?
Yeah. I didn't listen to it. I just saved it.
Here, play this.
Here. Listen to this, fuck.
You know, we see all these people coming across, mostly military-age men coming from China, from Africa, from all over the world. Most of them not even being vetted when they come in here. But here's what's really going to bother you. When these folks come across and they're processed, they're being given a cell phone, a plane ticket to wherever they want to go in this country, so probably to a community near you, and a $5,000 Visa card. So while this Christmas season, you're struggling to keep your lights on, while you're struggling to pay your rent, put Christmas presents under the tree for your kids, we have our government giving people that came into this country illegally $5,000 gift cards. That's the truth, folks. God bless.
God bless? God damn!
I'm going to add to that, though.
Okay.
Bill Malusion from Fox News posted this, was it today? Yeah. Oh, no, yesterday. Uh-huh. Border Patrol's Tucson sector reported making a jaw-dropping 18,900 apprehensions of illegal immigrants in the last week alone. It's the highest weekly total ever recorded for the sector, breaking the prior record of 17,500, which was set the prior week.
Didn't we shut down a fucking port of entry?
Lukeville.
Yeah, and so they're all just going somewhere else to this one...
hole in the wall.
Yeah. Well, dude, I saw that thing where they fucking removed that pillar.
They cut a hole in it in the fence.
Yeah, and they're just fucking... And why is it all military-age men? Did you see the one where they had... There was this, like, a lot of Chinese?
Yeah.
And they're all military-age Chinese men?
Did you see how... Well, you watched the debate. How many between Newsom and...
And I didn't watch it. But I just saw
Sean Hannity had a stat, and so far last year there was like 36,000 or 26,000 Chinese illegals.
Really? Yeah. How are they getting here from China? I mean, China.
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 Well, they're walking across the ocean.
Yeah, exactly. They're sending them on troop transports and sending them down to fucking Mexico. I mean, they're probably dropping them off right in Tijuana. Is there an airport in Tijuana?
Well, I think there is. And then here's another thing that says, for those who mocked, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, San Diego Field Office Intelligence Division, situational awareness. This is for law enforcement sensitive information. Foreign fighters of Israel-Hamas conflict may potentially be encountered at the southwest border. And then they have... Obviously, some indications, but they have pictures of patches or insignias of the foreign terrorist organizations that may be encountered while intercepting illegal immigrants.
Right.
Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, Al Qaeda.
I thought we wiped ISIS out of the fucking.
Oh, dude, they're still there. But
so, anyways, I found that video.
Oh God.
Okay. So listen to this lady.
Okay.
Or dude, or whatever it is. I'm not sure. Oh, wait. Start. She's crying. She's really crying.
And I'm non-binary. My pronouns are she, they.
Are you sure?
And I'm queer.
Are you sure?
And this is me officially coming out.
What's she crying about?
I have no idea, dude. It feels so good. Here, watch.
No, I really don't.
No.
This feels really good.
See ya, buddy. Okay, anyways. So, it says right here, though. All right, wait, stop it. Stop, you whiny baby. It says, update on this woman, though. This repost 2 years out. Update, my pronouns are now they, them. So,
So there's more than one of you? Bipolar?
Yeah, exactly. First of all, yeah. How do you get a they, them when you're a fucking single person? I don't get it.
Anyways.
But yeah, why'd you cry? I mean, this mental illness is fucking rampant in this goddamn country. And they ain't doing anything about it. I remember, because back in the 20s again, once again, back in the 20s. Back in my 20s, they were handing out fucking ADHD, whatever, you know, attention deficit disorder shit, and they were handing out those fucking Prozac or whatever, like fucking candy. Dude. Dude, when we were kids, we just got smacked upside the head.
Exactly. Like, the more I see, since the pandemic, the more I see you talk about autism. Autism wasn't a thing back in the day. Never has been, right?
Right.
Do you know when autism really exploded, which I'm really starting to realize now?
Dude, there was a study done. It was when they started vaccinating kids.
Not necessarily when they started. There were certain ones. When we were kids, I think we only had to get like 5 or 6 different shots growing up.
And they gave it to you all at once with that fucking gun thing.
Right. But now there's so many different vaccines or these kids are required, and when they get multiples in a day, you know, that's what really hits it. Because you can have kids, you see a lot of people like, well, my son was normal, and then we got his vaccines, and then that same day this happened. I'm really starting to think that the big pharmaceutical companies, they want the liability protections. And Vivek Ramaswamy said something the other night, that this protections for like big pharmaceutical companies from shielding from lawsuits really started under Reagan in the 80s, right? And when did autism really start exploding? Since the 80s.
Since the 80s, yes.
So since they were shielded from lawsuits thanks to Reagan, and there's no real checks and balances on them, the shit that they're injecting our kids and all of us.
Right. And then the CDC directors and these...
That's a revolving door back and forth. And they're getting money, FDA, getting money. CDC.
Yeah, we're going to authorize that, shoot. Go ahead, give it to them.
Yeah.
There's no testing. There's nothing.
So the one thing Vivek said, I agree with him.
The news media is starting to treat Vivek like Trump. Seriously.
They are.
Yeah. Because he tells you the truth. He doesn't lie to you.
There's still something about him that makes the hair on my neck stand up.
I know, but he doesn't lie. I mean, he was on there the other day talking about replacement theory and don't lie to me. Don't try to tell me there's no fucking... Joe Biden admitted that.
Yeah, well, did you see Van Jones? Well, we need to get some refills and probably take a quick pause.
Yeah.
But we need to come back and talk about that replacement theory shit.
Okay.
Because there's a Van Jones went after Vivek.
Right, and yeah, he had him on his show or something.
Oh, and I saved something here, so...
Okay. All right, let's take a pause for the cause. Free field, get some more Blue Mountains in here.
Okay.
And we'll continue after that. Hey, we're back. See, you didn't miss us. So, I know we said we're going to get into this Van Jones and Vivek stuff, but since we were talking... Remember that whiner lady that was crying?
Yeah.
We're talking about mental illness. This is a fucking HOA guy right here. I'm so glad I don't fucking have an HOA.
I was just doing, with the beard.
Yeah, dude, watch us. Or listen to this. I want to know whose doorbell rings like 3 fucking times without pushing the button.
Alright, I know you're not going to answer the door. I have a trailer that's parked right outside over here, and it's been here for 3 days.
3 days? Okay?
You're not allowed to have a trailer parked in your yard or in your driveway, sir. It's against the rules. And it came over here several times, and you've been notified. If this trailer is not removed from your driveway, you will be fined. And if you refuse to pay the fine, you will have a lien put against your home. Do you understand me, sir? I am so tired of you breaking the laws. When you moved into this community, you knew there was a HOA, and you've agreed, and you signed the papers. So, therefore, you have to move this trailer, or you will be fined. It's on you, sir. I am so tired of coming over here and dealing with you. Just abide by the rules which you signed when you first moved in this neighborhood. Do it or you'll be fined. I am tired of coming over here. That's it. No more.
Okay, first of all, is it a law? Because he said earlier, you're paying the law.
It's not a law.
I know. And then when you get notification, this is what fucking cracks me up about this whole fucking thing, right? So you leave your trailer out there for three, because
you can usually have a few days.
Right. Well, usually it's 48 hours, right?
Right.
Technically 48 hours. So then they fucking give you a notice and tell you you have 10 days to move it.
Right.
It's like, okay, wait, well, I got 48, then plus 10. I got 10 fucking extra days.
Right. Then if you don't move it in 10 days.
Yeah, but it's like, is it 48 hours or is it 10 fucking days?
Anyway.
But, yeah, that's an HOA for you. But, yeah, that dude.
Soy boy.
Yeah, dude. He got all up in there. Crazy eyed him.
Yeah. So back to Vivek and the replacement theory.
Yes, replacement theory.
Okay. So let's play this. Van Jones melted down the other night, right?
Uh-huh.
Let's see.
Condescending way that he just spews this poison out is very, very dangerous because he won't stop Trump, but he's going to outlive Trump by about 50 years. And you're watching the rise of an American demagogue that is a very, very despicable person.
Yeah.
And I was shaking listening to him talk because a lot of people don't know that is one step away from Nazi propaganda coming out of his mouth.
Okay.
Oh, bullshit. Right. You want to talk about Nazi propaganda? What did the Nazis do? They controlled the media.
Right.
They took guns away from people.
They were anti-Semitic.
Ah.
So here's him. Yeah. Here's him in February 2021.
Yeah.
I got it. Hang on. I figure out which speaker is coming up.
Asking the white majority to do something is difficult. And I think it'd be easier if we just acknowledge that it's difficult. No ethnic majority group in 10,000 years of human history that I could find ever went from being a majority to being a minority and liked it. And that's basically the request from the racial justice left, is that we want the white majority to go from being a majority to being a minority and like it. That's a tough request. And the reality is that change is hard. Change that you want is hard. Change that is good is hard.
So he's saying it's happening, and he wants it to happen. The left wants that to happen.
Yeah.
So this whole thing about the replacement theory.
Well, because when you bring it up and you talk about it, no, you don't.
First rule of Fight Club?
Yeah, don't talk about Fight Club. First rule of replacement theory? Don't talk about replacement theory.
But see, there's a video of Joe Biden with Mayorkas years ago talking about importing, basically allowing all the illegals in.
It would be a good thing to make the whites a minority.
Minority, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
But it wasn't years ago, because years ago Joe was a fucking racist. Now all of a sudden he's like.
It was back in 12.
Was it?
But here's the funny thing is, he was a racist and he gets a pass. Trump was never a racist. He ran as a Republican. Now he's called a Nazi and a racist.
I mean, yeah, there's pictures of him. He gave money to fucking Al Sharpton. And Al Sharpton fucking now calls him a racist.
Yeah.
Jesse, I haven't heard Jesse Jackson. Is he even still alive?
He's probably drooling over his pudding right now.
And his kid's still in prison. Is his kid still in prison?
Dude, in my high school, my senior year, Jesse Jackson came and gave a speech at our high school.
I had to boot him. So, not that I'm racist. I don't like the man.
Hey, so let's kind of get to Israel,
okay,
Hamas, and all the anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Yeah, let's. Do you have any of those clips from the fucking women?
Not yet. Before we get to the college presidents.
Right.
There is a girl here, Hafeeza Khalik, caught tearing down posters of kidnapped Israelis in October.
Uh-huh.
Right? She was an NYU student.
Oh, that one that was whining?
Yeah.
Kicking her out of school?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it's amazing.
Yeah, play that one. Who's the dude she's talking to, though?
Some dude, listen to what he says. Listen to how he describes it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
So
So after I was filmed tearing down these posters outside of Tisch Hall, a student at NYU circulated the video on social media, and she was calling for us to be doxxed. Shortly after, celebrities, public figures, and Zionist platforms with millions of followers were sharing our information publicly. The student also created a petition, which received over 10,000 signatures to call for the expulsion of everyone in the video. I faced relentless backlash from right-wing media news outlets for weeks, most calling for me to be jailed, expelled, deported, assaulted, and to be sent to Gaza. NYU refused to cover off-campus housing because I'm on scholarship, so I couldn't really afford to live in New York otherwise. So despite it being, no longer being safe for me to live in dorms, they denied me access to off-campus housing, and now they're denying me access to higher education.
So just to get this straight, NYU suspended you, took away your scholarship, made it impossible for you to afford housing, all because you tore down a poster.
Mm-hmm. As a part of my scholarship, that would grant me on-campus housing, and so because I was suspended, I would have to move off campus after the semester, essentially kicking me out of the dorms, leaving me unhoused, and also denying me access to any higher education until fall 2024.
Wow.
And they have also restricted my privileges, so I am not able to attend on-campus, off-campus events, or participate in any student clubs. So after I was filmed tearing down these posters outside of Tisch Hall...
So who's that dude? Who is that dude? I mean, because, you know, he's not, like, disagreeing with her, so...
No, he's not.
Maybe he should be fucking doxxed, too. And, no, it's really funny, because I was doxxed, and ain't that what they do to people?
They do that to people and get them canceled.
Yeah.
So there's... I think at one point in a longer interview, someone said that he referred to those posters as propaganda.
Oh, there they go.
Ooh, we got a stampede.
There was a dog barking outside, so the dog's inside.
So, yeah, so it's, one, denying access to higher education. That's not a right. Higher education, going to college is a privilege. It's not a right.
Yeah, you broke the fucking rule of the college.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, not only that, but...
Or did you? We don't know. We don't know what the rules are.
All right. So let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
You have posters of kidnapped Israelis.
Uh-huh.
And you're going up there and you're tearing them down only for the fact that they're Jewish, right?
Right.
Because how is a poster of a kidnapped person affecting you? How does it hurt you?
It's not.
So, but they're going up there and they're tearing them down because they're Arab or Palestinian or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they're and the poster of the missing are Jewish.
Right.
And so it's just like, that's anti-Semitism. Uh-huh. Then you get into all the anti-Jewish protests, all the calls for, we've talked about it before, you know, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free.
Yeah.
Which most of these college kids can't name what river and what sea,
yeah,
or what that means to the implicit message of that means they're going to, you know, wipe out the Jewish nation and wipe out all the Jews.
Right.
So all of the, was it MIT, Harvard, and University of Pennsylvania presidents, all three women,
right,
were in front of Congress this week.
Right.
And had their hearing... And Elise Stefanik just ripped them a new ass.
Dude, I know. She's like, all right, wait, okay, say it one more time for the record.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I even have any of those. I don't think I saved those clips. I mean, they're just too good. Man. I can't believe I didn't save it.
Well, I was looking at them on Breitbart.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm doing that, it's hard for me to save them.
But, I mean, she asked them over and over and over.
Yeah.
Like, well, here's...
If they want to...
Here's Harvard professor, right?
Mm-hmm. Harvard receives funding from foreign entities and governments which support its Middle East Studies department, correct?
We receive funding from a variety of sources because we have alumni from all over the world.
But that is correct, right? The Middle Eastern Studies department?
We receive funding from various sources.
It's a yes or no. Are you not aware where the Middle Eastern Studies department receives funding?
We receive funding from various sources.
I am asking you a yes or no question. You are under oath in front of the United States Congress. You are giving lip service provided to your attorneys. It's a yes or no question. Harvard receives funding from foreign entities and governments which support its Middle Eastern Studies department, correct?
We have alumni all over the world, and we benefit
from
their philanthropy.
So the answer is correct, yes? Yes? The answer is correct?
We receive support from our alumni from all over the world,
from
individuals.
And what amount of support is that reported to the federal government?
I'd have to actually look at our filings.
You don't know? As the president of the university, you don't know?
Not that particular number.
All right, so that's not the one I was looking for, but that's a good line right there.
Right, that was that's.
But that's a typical kind of answer people give Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not people.
Well, everyone.
Democrats.
Well, yeah, and the FBI director and Mayorkas, they never answer a fucking question. Congress needs to just start fucking hammering people until you give me a solid answer. Because if we have oversight and you want our money. Mm-hmm. I want a fucking answer.
Yeah.
And if you're going to give me bullshit answers like this, I'm going to take away your money. That's what needs to happen. I'm tired of these idiots. It's disgusting.
That was not long enough.
Every student calling for the mass murder of African Americans is not protected free speech at Harvard, correct?
Our commitment to free speech.
It's a yes or no question. Is that corrected? Is that okay for students to call for the mass murder of African Americans at Harvard? Is that protected free speech?
Our commitment to free speech.
It's a yes or no question. Let me ask you this. You are president of Harvard, so I assume you're familiar with the term intifada, correct?
I've heard that term, yes.
And you understand that the use of the term intifada in the context of the Israeli-Arab conflict is indeed a call for violent armed resistance against the state of Israel, including violence against civilians and the genocide of Jews. Are you aware of that?
That type of hateful speech is personally abhorrent to me.
And there have been multiple marches at Harvard with students chanting, quote, there is only one solution, intifada revolution, and, quote, globalize the intifada. Is that correct?
I've heard that thoughtless, reckless, and hateful language on our campus, yes.
So based upon your testimony, you understand that this call for intifada is to commit genocide against the Jewish people in Israel and globally, correct?
I will say again, that type of hateful speech is personally abhorrent to me.
Do you believe that type of hateful speech is contrary to Harvard's code of conduct, or is it allowed at Harvard?
It is at odds with the values of Harvard.
Can you but not...
So she won't answer.
Right, here's the whole thing. I mean, not the whole thing, but this is all three of them. This is a,
does a compilation. At MIT, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate MIT's code of conduct or rules regarding bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
You've targeted at individuals, not making public statements.
Yes or no? Calling for the genocide of Jews does not constitute bullying and harassment?
I have not heard calling for the genocide for Jews on our campus.
But you've heard chants for intifada.
I've heard chants, which can be anti-Semitic depending on the context, when calling for the elimination of the Jewish people.
So those would not be according to the MIT's code of conduct or rules?
That would be investigated as harassment, if pervasive and severe.
Ms. McGill, at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
I am asking, specifically calling for the genocide of Jews, does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer yes, Ms. McGill. So is your testimony that you will not answer yes?
If the speech becomes conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
Conduct meaning committing the act of genocide? The speech is not harassment? This is unacceptable, Ms. McGill. I'm going to give you one more opportunity for the world to see your answer. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's code of conduct when it comes to bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be harassment.
The answer is yes. And Dr. Gay, at Harvard, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
It can be, depending on the context.
What's the context?
Targeted at an individual.
It's targeted at Jewish students, Jewish individuals. Do you understand your testimony is dehumanizing them? Do you understand that dehumanization is part of antisemitism?
That's what the Nazis did.
I will ask you one more time. Does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Harvard's rules of bullying and harassment? Yes or no?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric.
And is it anti-Semitic rhetoric?
Anti-Semitic rhetoric when it crosses into conduct that amounts to bullying, harassment, intimidation. That is actionable conduct, and we do take action.
So the answer is yes, that calling for the genocide of Jews violates Harvard Code of Conduct, correct?
Again, it depends on the context.
It does not depend on the context. The answer is yes, and this is why you should resign. These are unacceptable answers across the board.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my God, they are fucking tart. Lindy, looks like you want to say something.
Yeah. Ross Stevens, the CEO of Stone River Assets, withdrew $100 million gift from UPenn.
Yeah, right. And the guy from Barstool Sports, now I don't know how much money Barstool Sports generates and stuff like that, but he's like, I'm never going to hire a guy from Penn, MIT, or Harvard.
Yeah, Dave Portnoy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
So that withholding of $100 million or withdrawing happened like the day, that same day or the day after. They sent a letter from their lawyers to Penn saying, if you don't fire this chick, I'm going to withhold my $100 million. Mm-hmm. The board of trustees had an emergency meeting the other day.
Right.
And then it came out this afternoon.
That she resigned.
Now, right. The problem is, she's staying on faculty as a tenured professor in the UPenn School of Law. So she's not really losing much.
No, she's not the president anymore.
She's not the president.
I mean,
run her out of fucking town.
Right. Well, run them all out of town. Okay, what is bullying? Bullying. Well, it depends on everything.
So, let me ask you this, Chuck. And someone brought this up in this hearing. I don't think we have any clips of it.
Probably not.
But she's, you know, if you call for the mass murder of black students, you would be kicked out immediately. You'd be expelled, right?
Right.
Harvard is on record denying admission to people who had racist social media posts from like 6 years, you know, when they were 12 or 13 years old. So they've denied admission to someone whose Twitter feed and like 2014 use an N-word when they were like quoting a rap song or something, right?
Right.
So you're saying you respect free speech and the Constitution and it, you know, but you're holding speech to different standards.
No, they probably picture the Constitution as a fucking racist fucking document.
But it's different standards. So, you just like white people, you can be racist against white people, but you can't be racist against anybody else.
Right.
You could advocate for the genocide of Jewish, which they think are white people, which they're not really white people. They're Middle Eastern, right?
Right.
But they're looking at Palestinians as people of color, That all goes back to DEI. And I tell you, that President Gay at Harvard, mm-hmm. she only got her job because she's probably a lesbian black woman, just like our fucking press secretary.
Yeah. Oh, damn, shit. Dude, man, Mike. Okay, anyway. definition
Prove
of
bullying. Prove me I'm wrong.
I'm not going to, because definition of bullying is noisily domineering, tending to browbeat others.
That's just how I was doing a huge
thing. I know, just now. Mike bullied me. Fire! The act of intimidating a weaker person to do something, especially such repeated coercion. Persistent acts intended to make life unpleasant. That's bullying.
Yeah.
So, calling for the genocide. Of,
hey.
Hey. You have an opinion on this?
I guess so.
Calling for the genocide of Jews is not unless you actually act upon it.
Yeah. So it depends on the conduct.
Okay, so if I sat here and I called for the death of all African Americans in this country, what would happen to me? Besides the fact that I would never be able to show my face in public fucking again.
Right. Yeah, you wouldn't get a job. You'd be canceled from everything.
Yeah.
You know, Lynn, you'd have to support your ass forever.
I'd be doxxed. Yeah. Like, whatever doxing is,
But you know, if you were a college student and you called for the elimination of all African Americans, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. yeah, you'd be kicked out of school.
Right.
You'd lose any scholarship you had.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, there's African Americans right now calling for the elimination of all white people.
White people, yeah.
Yeah, it's like.
And they get extra credit.
Yeah, and there's nothing being done.
Right.
This whole fucking thing is fucked up beyond recognition. FUBAR. FUBAR.
But, you know, that's the thing. In college, you want to go there and you have a difference of opinion on policies, on ideals. Debate your differences, right?
Right.
Just because I think different than you politically or ideologically
right.
doesn't mean I want you dead.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I just think we have different ideas, and I think my ideas are better
right.
because they normally are.
Right.
But.
Right, yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's, and that's what, see, that's our whole political system used to be that way.
Uh-huh.
The Democrats and the Republicans right. had differences of opinions. They probably all both parties wanted the best for our country,
uh-huh.
but had different ideas and different plans on how to get there. Now it's so divided, it's either you're with us or you're against us.
Right.
And compromise to the Democrats is you do what we want, and compromise to the Republicans is we'll do what you want. I mean, dude, right. that's how stupid it is.
Right.
So.
But, yeah,
so good for you, McGill, for losing your job. We got two more to go.
Yeah, two. Well, we probably got more than that to go.
Well, yeah. But, well, Crow, you're on the list there, dude.
Dude, that guy's a fucking panty waste. I'm fucking so tired.
You know, so here's my question.
Uh-huh.
They created safe spaces for students after an election when Trump won, right?
Yeah.
Where's the safe spaces for Jewish students on the campus? Because I know there's been some pro-Palestinian protests. Yeah,
they had one out by the fucking Tempe Town Lake right. or whatever.
So where are the safe spaces for the fucking Jewish students on ASU campuses right now? Has anybody asked Crow that? Where's the extra security for the Jewish student group?
Okay, so I think we talked about this on the show. You're right. They did do the safe space for kids when Trump was elected in 2016. Mm-hmm. I mean, because our daughter was at ASU as a freshman in the dorms at the time and mm-hmm. got the email, right? When Biden was elected in...
There's no safe spaces.
2020, there was no email sent out, so I took it upon myself to email Mr. Crow and ask him, were there safe spaces provided for the people who don't feel safe because Joe Biden is running this country? He, in turn, assigned it to one of his lessers, right? And all I got was, all students, blah, 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 blah. But they didn't say they provided safe space
right.
because I know they fucking didn't. So... They're not, yeah. And then now this, and I know there's been protests because after, like, what was it, October 7th, about a week later, they had a fucking pro-Palestinian thing at ASU, because I looked up online to see where all these things were happening. One of them was ASU.
Yeah, outside the student union.
Can't be down the league.
No, it was at the student union.
But it's like, Jesus Christ. It's like, why? Why? Okay, first of all.
It was at the student union, because I was there.
Right.
But there was a second one that was started at Tempe Town Lake.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Uh-huh.
And they paraded all through Tempe down to the campus and did their pro-Palestinian.
Yeah, they're lucky I wasn't down there, because I'd fucking beat some of my ass.
But, you know, that's the thing. Why is, once again,
fucking soy boys.
Yeah. Why is it acceptable to be pro-terrorist, pro-Biden?
They have no idea what they're fucking bitching about.
Dude, that's college.
It's college. I mean, if I was in college, I'd probably be doing something trying to pick up chicks, you know? That's me. Just me. I'd be going to a bar trying to pick up a chick, but the rest of you guys are out there like looking at other guys' asses and going, hey.
They, them.
I might want me some of that right there. That thing's kind of tight looking.
Fuck these kids today. Oh, these silly kids.
I know, but no, seriously, that's the way they are. You know, they're like looking at them like, hey, you know what? Yeah, that thing looks pretty good. Might want some. I'm kind of confused. I'm sexually confused right now.
You get hemorrhoids, it makes it a little tighter.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, dude. Speed bump.
Just don't pop it.
Yeah. You'll cry. Okay, so.
That was disgusting.
I know. So, anyway, real quick, before we get into the end of the show.
Okay.
So, everybody knows Canada, right? I'm going to play you this
clip. I try not to.
I'm going to play you this clip from this girl from Canada, right? So, listen to this.
Okay.
Canadians want to axe the tax. The conservative leader of the opposition, Pierre Poilievre, wants to axe the carbon tax. We've all had enough of this punishing tax that literally makes everything so expensive in Canada. And Trudeau, the tiny little arrogant, smug, potato little tyrant, well, this is his stance on it. Take a look.
Do you have any intention on axing the carbon tax like the Conservatives want? No. Are you going to back down?
No, we're not axing the tax.
Don't you wish you could just give that guy a piece of your mind?
Here's a guy on Joe Rogan. I just find it's kind of that all of a sudden tech Canada's like kind of important.
You live in the fucking frozen communist shithole of Canada.
yeah.
It's cold. You get real cold water.
When's the last time you've been up there?
Right. I don't go up there anymore.
You refuse, right?
Yeah, I just fucking, what they've done up there, what they did with the trucker rally and what Trudeau's doing with guns and what they're trying to clamp down on censorship on the internet, that guy can eat shit. Mm. Like, that place needs 100% an overhaul of government. Like, they're sliding down that dangerous road of communism that scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, it's funny because even though I'm in Canada, it seems like the prevalence of political information and media is so much lesser than what goes on in the States because it's just far more interesting. But even the alternatives that I'm aware of on the political, you know, side of things that are trying to, you know, get Trudeau out and replace him, not much better from my understanding.
What they did with the truckers, like, for example, like the way Trudeau just openly labeled them as racist and misogynist. Mm. And then when people were donating to this trucker movement, when they were trying to, you know, have this protest, they closed down people's bank accounts who donated. I mean, that is third world country shit.
Yeah.
The fact that they think they can do that in Canada is insane.
Have you seen the ban of news in Canada, to where if you're located in Canada, you can't access news outlets now because the news outlets or the social media platforms featuring the news outlets refuse to pay Canada their own fee, essentially. Uh-huh. So if I'm in Canada and I go on Instagram and try to go to a, you know, a news page that's outside of Canadian media, it'll literally say can't view, unavailable in Canada. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's nuts. What? That's like China. Yeah. I mean, it's literally like what they do in foreign countries that are run by dictators.
Yeah, yeah, dude. The bills, it seems like every couple of weeks there's some new gong show of a bill that everyone says is going to, you know, wipe out creators off social media or force you to make Canadian content only, which is like this super nebulous thing that you have no idea. Am I only going to be able to talk about like maple syrup and beavers and shit? Or like, what's it going to be? You don't know. So that's a concern as somebody on YouTube, especially. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah, I've heard concerning things that my podcast at one point in time might not even be available in Canada because of this.
Yeah.
Like that's a concern that this could be used in that manner to stop people from accessing podcasts, so, especially if I'm openly critical of that shithole communist government.
Oh, yeah, you definitely won't be on there.
Yeah. So are there term limits for Trudeau, or is he, like, elected himself king of the country now?
I thought there were term limits in Canada.
Trudeau's been in position for a while now, though.
Yeah, but he's just recent. Ever since COVID...
He's been like a dictator.
Dictator. And, you know, because the trucker rally, they were doing like, we played it. They were doing like bloodthirsty shit, like making pizzas and playing Plinko.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fucking horrible.
I know. God damn.
The humanity.
I know. What the fuck are you guys doing up there, you crazy bastards?
Fuck. But, fucking Canada. Yeah. Canada used to be like the nice, kind neighbor.
Uh huh.
Now it's a crazy bitch down the street.
It is. And you know, it's snowbird season here, so the Canadians are coming down here and they're like,
freedom.
They're not even glad to be in the warmth anymore. They could probably stop in fucking Oregon and be happy.
That's funny. Hey,
I
just gave you one, damn it.
I know. So remember last week we had a lot of music on the show?
We did.
So, you want some more music?
We got some more?
You guys want some more music? Here, listen to this.
All right. And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. The hookers and drugs, we're gonna be there soon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'll be good and high by then, Dad. Yeah, I'll be good and high by then.
Picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resemble crack cocaine.
I'm very proud of my son.
My son came around just the other day. He said, I got me a deal where we can both get paid. Can I trade on your name? I said, sure, okay. Will anyone know? He said, no, no way. And as he walked away, he looked kind of dim and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him.
He's fixed it. He's worked on it.
And Hunter's in the basement with a silver spoon. Ukrainian brides are gonna be there soon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. I'll put aside your 10%, Dad.
I wish I could find a whole fucking thing for that.
So, yeah. So, because of that, let's speak that. He was indicted this week.
Yeah.
Three felonies, 6 or 7 misdemeanors.
Right.
But nothing about foreign agent registration.
Right.
It was all tax stuff.
Yeah, it was no FARA stuff.
But they have his wild spending.
Yeah. How much did he spend on hookers and blow?
Well, so far this says more than $850,000 on adult entertainment and payments to various women. $850,000.
Man.
But that's a cumulative.
Do you know how you could get in the VIP room at fucking Band-Aids or whatever for like an hour and a half.
Dude, I'm telling you, this fucking dude, and he's all pissed because he had a sweetheart deal that would have protected him against future prosecution
right.
for future crimes.
Right.
He had the get-out-of-jail-free card, never heard of before in life.
Mm-hmm.
And his lawyer's like, well, he's only being charged because his name is Biden.
No. The only reason he got out of that was because the judge actually asked fucking questions.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
But now this guy, who is it? This fucking special investigator?
Yeah, Weiss.
Well, he had to do something because he was under a microscope at this fucking point in time.
But see, here's the latest theory. They charged him with all this shit right now and not a FARA foreign agent shit. they're charging them now to try to say, well, look, we're charging him and Trump, you know, and but they're trying to keep it to Hunter and keep it away from Joe. Because if they do the foreign agent shit, they're going to link it with all the shit, the emails between Hunter and, and Joe's.
Well, maybe it should be two. It should be separate charges. I mean, well, tax evasion is one thing,
but the all the money
foreign thing's a whole other fucking crime.
But they're linked because that money was coming from foreign governments that he was fueling hit all these activities, and he was giving dad money.
Like I said earlier, we're never going to. We're less than a year out, right? Joe's not going to be president in 2025 or whatever.
But you know what? It's not just Hunter. They need to charge Biden's sister, his brother, his fucking daughter, his grandkids.
His son-in-law who made all the fucking money off COVID. That's what... Actually, I had no idea about that until I started reading that fucking book.
You know, but someone said, you know, it wasn't supposed to be Hunter doing this. It was supposed to be Bo. Bo was the golden child.
No, Bo was the golden child, but Bo was the straight arrow.
No, he wasn't.
Well, according to the book, he's straighter than everybody else in the fucking family.
We'll see about that when the truth really comes out.
But... I'll read the... let me finish reading the book.
No, but everyone's like, he was the golden child of the family.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he really was.
Well, come on.
Look at Hunter.
He wasn't a crackhead, and he didn't shower with his dad.
We don't know what happened to him. We really don't.
Yeah. Well, he got brain cancer.
Well. And his widow started banging Hunter.
Yeah, dude, that's a whole weird part about it.
And his daughter banged Hunter.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
Hunter was banging his brother's, his own niece at one point.
How old was she?
Like 14.
Law. FBI. FIB. I call FIB.
Or, dude, there's pictures of his niece with him. Yeah. It's like, that's on the fucking laptop.
But, you know, apparently it's okay if your last name's fucking Biden.
You know, like father, like son.
Jerk off.
Man, dude, I'm so sick of this.
Dude, okay, so, anyways, let's go back to music, shall we?
Okay.
So, I'm going to play you this song.
Since
it's almost Christmas, I found this song yesterday. Lindy's son thinks it's kind of, I forget what his comment was on the thing, but terrifying.
No, he didn't.
What? Yeah, he did. But terrifying. Yeah. Because it was, but.
Anyways, play it.
I'm going to play it. Wait. I
got
to get through the ads first. Ads, skip. Oh, here we go.
Charlie, I am the one. It's time for a Christmas fun. Flying through the tree, sleigh bells jingling. Sack all full of toys, bringing Christmas joy to every. and sugar plums dance inside your head. I may watch you sleep as you lay in bed.
That's probably terrifying.
Elsa, make my toys, they can never die. Work them to the bone, whip them if they cry. Don't you dare not say you better watch out since I'm coming to your town, cause I'm Santa Claus. North Pole dictator with elves, horse leg waver and eggs, flying reindeer, I'm Santa Claus. Sees you sleeping, sees you awake. Have you been a bad girl this year? Better be good, for goodness sake. Have you been a good boy this year? Spread season's greetings and slide down the chimneys and give all the gifts, cause I'm Santa Claus. Sit on my lap and tell me what you want, then I'll add it to my list, cause I'm Santa Claus.
All right.
I'm surprised he said terrifying, other than maybe the reindeer or the one where the Santa Claus is standing in the background.
I don't know.
What, watching, sleeping.
That's what his comment was back to me when, because I said it was terrifying.
That's his type of music.
I know.
Well,
the Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie, yeah. So,
both him and oldest.
Yeah.
So we're going to go one more song here.
I think she met him.
Who?
Oh, really?
This is for Mike and me. And this is our official theme song.
I lost everything
for
Mike.
We got to wait for the goddamn ad. Here it is.
Okay.
I think you played this.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I like beer because it is good. I drink beer because I should. If there was a song to sing, I sing it and beer you bring. I drink beer when I am sad, because the beer, it makes me glad. Now there's nothing left to say, so let's go drink beer.
Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good! It's not! Beer is good! Beer is good! Beer is good!
Let's go drink some beer!
You said both. Yeah,
I said them both. So, but it's a band called Psycho Stick. Look them up on YouTube.
They're funny as shit.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got for today.
Me too. I got to go to an ugly sweater party now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're a little late.
What? No, we're not, are we? Oh yeah, we are.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll be back next week.